to get going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 2 Samuel 13, verse 32. And while you're turning, just some reminders, saints. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be getting the Key of David started. Hallelujah. Real soon, we're going to make a push. And so we just want to make sure that everybody, amen, is signed up. And I don't want to get it twisted. Listen, we said entrepreneurs and businesses, amen. But if you like a self-contracted business, meaning like you're in real estate or mortgages or something like that, and it might not be your business, so to speak, amen, but you make commissions off of what you get, we definitely want to include you, amen. I don't care if it's car sales, whatever it is, we want to include you, amen, into this Key of David. I don't care if you do hair, cut hair, whatever, but you get a commission off of what come in, amen. We really, really, really want to get you involved in this Key of David, amen, so that you can be blessed, amen. You see, because we know that when we bless the people of God, the Bible says those that bless you will be blessed, amen. And so we want to get you involved in that, hallelujah, as soon as we can, amen. And so you want to sign up, try to get with Miss Saola or Brother James, amen, because the website is up. And we want to get all the names, and we're thinking about putting an app together so that when you're out and about and you're looking for a business, amen, you could just hit the app on the iPhone. I'm looking for pizza. I'm looking for a house. I'm looking for a car, amen. And we're going to try to get that going. Hallelujah. Let me see what else. Remember, church anniversary, amen, is coming up. Hallelujah. What'd you say, pretty? All right. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. Hallelujah. We'll have the table out there for the church anniversary. Those who got tables, amen, you can go and secure your table, amen. You did it by word, but you're going to have to secure it by green, amen. So you're going to have to get it. And by word is good, but if you don't have the green today, everything goes. And from what I hear, all the tables are pretty much already done. Everybody got them, all right? And so we're going to try to figure out a way. If you don't have a table, maybe you can get with somebody who have one, and you can get on their table. And if not, we may try to figure out something else. Hopefully God will give us some type of witty invention. Amen. So y'all won't be sneaking in here with disguises and saying you got a table when you really don't have no table. We're going to try to work it out. All right? Remember the PMG signing party. Amen. Hallelujah. Philadelphia Music Group. Glory to God. It's going to be at the UL Ballroom. Amen. It's going to be some refreshments and hors d'oeuvres. And so you want to come. You want to support our artists. Amen. And maybe someday you see that you could be, hallelujah, fit in and the music company some kind of way. You want to come and just support that. Amen. But as a church, this is a milestone that we kind of reach. And amen. Because it's one thing to minister inside the four walls. But when you get to a place where you want to go outside the four walls and minister and be something national, it's a big thing. So if your calendar is free, hallelujah, or if you could make it free, amen. Try to be there with us on January 27th, amen, at 7 p.m. Glory to God. Any other announcements, y'all? Any other announcements? That's it? All right. Praise God. Well, listen, saints, let's get to the word. Hallelujah. Look at verse 32 with me, and we're going to start reading. The Bible says here, and Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the Bible says, the king's sons. For Amnon only is dead, for by the appointment of Absalom, this had been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now, therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young men that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came, and lifted up their voice and wept, and the king also and all his servants wept very sore. Father, we thank you for your word. Add a blessing to the reading, to the hearing, the exposition of your word. We pray that you edify the body and save the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. One thing I forgot to mention, amen, is the fast is over on Saturday. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ça c'est bon. Well, you know it's bad when you start dreaming of food, huh? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we making our list and checking it twice. You hear me? I'm telling you, we want to eat all kind of stuff. Hallelujah. And so, yeah, it's over. It's officially over Saturday, but you can keep it going as long as you want. But as for me and my house, you know what I'm saying. And so, just to get a little bite of something is going to be a blessing. Hallelujah. All right. So, saints, we in 2 Samuel, and in 2 Samuel, hallelujah, we were discussing how Amnon was after his own sister, and that because of the safety mechanisms, he could not get to his own sister. But he had a friend named Jonadab, and Jonadab concocted a wicked scheme by which Amnon was able to get Tamar, his sister, alone. And the scheme was that Amnon would feign or play or act sick, amen. And as soon as David would come in, amen, he would ask David for Tamar to come and cook for him. And it went just like it was scripted by Jonadab. And so Tamar came in, and Amnon forced her. He raped her, amen, and it caused a lot of problems in David's home. Because Tamar had a big brother by the name of Absalom. And Absalom took Tamar in, and he said, listen, don't worry about it. Big brother going to take care of it. And big brother waited 2 full years, the Bible says. And he didn't tell Amnon anything, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And he just waited. Amen. And he made Amnon think that everything was all good, but it wasn't. And one day he had a celebration, a party to celebrate, amen, his sheep shearing. His little business on the side was bringing in revenue. Amen. And so he had a little feast, a little festival. And he went to King David and he said, David, listen, would you come and celebrate with us and feast with us? And David said, listen, my entourage and everybody that's with me is going to be too much of a burden. And so, listen, the offer is nice, but we can't come. We'll take all your profit and eat all your food. You won't have nothing left. You'll make no money off your little business. Absalom knew that his daddy would say that. So Absalom says, listen, well, can you send Amnon? Can you send Amnon and the rest of the king's son? And David should have been discerned. He should have picked up on it, which he did, but he didn't pick up on it enough. Amen. He couldn't see the diabolical nature of Absalom's scheme just yet because he was going through his own stuff. You see, when we in sin, hallelujah, it dulls our discernment and our perception, amen, of the enemy's schemes and devices. And so Absalom, amen, gets David to agree. And so Amnon goes, and Absalom tells his men, he says, listen, wait till Amnon is merry. Wait till he's drunk. Wait till he's takala. You see what I'm saying? And as soon as he is, I'm going to give you the signal and y'all kill him. Kill him dead. And it went just like they planned it. Amnon came and he did get drunk. Amen. Just like they knew. And when he got drunk, amen, hallelujah, Absalom gave the signal and his men killed Amnon right on the spot. News came to David and told David, David, listen, all your sons just got murdered. It was a bad report. It was a false report. It was an evil report. David accepted that report, rent his garments, tore his clothes, got down on the ground and cried like he just lost all of his children. Amen. We said, hallelujah, that a lot of the times we have a predisposition to believe the worst news when, hallelujah, we got to ask ourselves, whose report shall we believe? Amen. And especially if it's just one person, every word should be established by the mouth of two witnesses, not just one. So don't believe the bad report of just one person come and tell you. You got to hope for the best. You got to stay positive. The glass is half full, not half empty, amen, until the Lord give you the clear word on it. And so you stay positive. You stay positive. And so the Bible told us that David's on the ground. He's weeping, and Jonadab comes. And we just kind of refamiliarize you with who Jonadab was. Jonadab was the one who gave the original plan on how to get Tamar alone. But he comes with a good word. He comes with a blessing. Oh, David, listen, all your sons not dead. He come with a blessing. And last time we just told you, listen, people can bless you. Speak a good word over you. Be your friend and your confidant in a certain situation. But it don't mean they not your enemy. Anybody hear me up in here? You got to learn to have wisdom beyond a situation. All right? Sure, the serpent in the Garden of Eden told Adam and Eve some good things for that moment. Sure, he told them that when they would eat the apple or eat the fruit, that they would know good from evil. Yeah, that was true, but there was a half-lie behind that truth. It meant them not good. It might have meant them good for the moment, but it meant them evil for a lifetime. And I told you that you got to be discerning. You got to watch out for the Judases, the Delilahs, the Absaloms, the people that's going to help you up with one hand but got a knife in the other hand. And I don't want you to be so foolish, Philadelphia. as to allow people to get you by buying you something to eat. Allowing people to get you by picking you up and giving you a ride. You don't let your guards down, amen? You don't let your guards down, amen? The Bible says you got to be gentle as a dove, but you got to be wise as a serpent. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. I'm just saying. Now listen now. You know the prophetic operate through me. All right? So who is God trying to warn with that word? Who is close to you that's a Judas? Who do you think mean you good, but really trying to get with your spouse or mess with you? I'm done with that. I'm just saying. You got to watch out for them. Smiling in your face. All the while they want them backstabbers. All right? So that's who Joab was. That's who Jonadab was. Jonadab was a backstabber. Smiling in David's face, but all the while a traitor. Because he was the one who set this whole avalanche of events in motion. Tonight, saints, listen, we're going to continue with the study we started last Tuesday. We talked about Jonadab, point number one, but we left with 2 points, amen, still on the table. And so we'll discuss those 2 points tonight. The second point is going to be Amnon only is dead, hallelujah. And the third point, as thy servant said. So pray for me that we can get through it, amen. But at a certain time, I am going to get you out of here, no matter where we are in the service, unless the Lord tells me otherwise. Second point, for Amnon only is dead. The Bible says in verse 32, and Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, answered and said, let not my Lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's son, and for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this had been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. I want you to look at how Jonadab talks to David here. And I want you to pay close attention how he speaks about his close friend Amnon. He says, Amnon only is dead. Amnon only is dead. Now, this is his friend, his bosom buddy. You know how we do it. His me and you will never part. At least that's what Amnon thought. But when Amnon had just got murdered, look how cold and callous Jonadab is. Oh, David, don't worry about it. It's only Amnon. It's only Amnon. He didn't care whether Amnon lived or died. I told you when we first started studying this that he didn't love Amnon. He only loved himself. And when Amnon was gone, amen, he saw this as an opportunity. And we're going to talk about it in the next point. He didn't love nobody but himself. This Jonadab, this Judas, this backstabber. Amnon only is dead. It's no big deal. You see? Listen to me, saints. I told you in the warm-up here, in the pre-lesson, that you got to watch for Jonadabs around you. But I also want you to think about you not being a Jonadab yourself. Come on. All right? And you actually loving and caring for the people around you. You see, you'll know if you have a heart like Jonadab or not. You see? You'll know it. Because you don't care about people. The boy just got murdered. It's only Amnon. It's only Amnon. You'll know it. And if you got a problem with loving others besides loving yourself, all right, it's an easy fix. You just pray. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And if there's anything that you want from God, God will give it to you if you ask him. And so if you are just a naturally selfish person, all right, where you're just not too concerned about others. All you got to do is ask God. You just got to ask God, God, give me a heart to love somebody besides myself. Anybody hear me up in here? Give me a heart. Give me a heart like yours. Listen to me. The fruit of the Spirit, the very first fruit off the cluster, is love. And the Bible says that God is able to allow the love of God to be shed abroad, overflow, shed abroad inside of our hearts. If you're struggling with a spirit of Jonadab tonight, where you're just as selfish as anybody else, where you don't care what hurt people go through, you don't care if they drop dead and die on the side of you, only thing you're looking at is your promotion and your good, amen, I'm begging you tonight. You might have started off a Jonadab, but you don't have to stay a Jonadab tonight. You can pray to God and ask God, God, help me to love somebody besides myself. And listen to me. Listen to me. Sometimes you might not even be willing to admit that you're a self-lover. The Bible says in the last days, hallelujah, men shall be lovers of themselves. I know it's happening, all right? Ask the people around you. Am I a self-lover? Ask the people around you. Ask your wife. Ask your husband. Ask your children. And they're going to tell you if you're selfish or not. They're going to tell you if you're self-lover or not. Y'all quiet in here? Y'all quiet? I don't know why y'all quiet. This ain't even my notes. I'm just going off. I'm just going off the chain. I'm just off the chain right now. Because this is a big problem. It's a big problem. You know? Somebody say hallelujah. Self-lovers. Jonadab. Where does this thing manifest itself at? In the homes. Husbands and wives. You could see the Jonadabs. Parents and children. You could see the Jonadabs. They ain't trying to take nothing out of their mouth to give to their children. Boy, you out of luck. They ain't trying to give out of their money to help out the children or anybody else. You out of luck. You can see it in the house, all right, that selfishness. You can see it in the workplace, all right? All right? Two people on the teller line at the bank wanting to go do something else, and the other one come back, and it's a long line, but she still ain't going to finish her job and go take care of the customer. She's going to count them pennies one at a time. One, two, three. Line out the door. Listen, self-love. Jonadab, you could see it in the classroom where the teachers don't really love the students, but only really love themselves. Is that enough examples for you? Or Jonadab, you could see it amongst friends, just like Amnon and his boy. Listen, he didn't really care about Amnon. He didn't care. Pastor, how you know? Look what he says. He says, for by the appointment. Look what he says there in verse 32. He says, for by the appointment of Absalom, this had been determined from the day that he forced his sister. That for by the appointment means by the plan of Absalom. By the plot of Absalom. Meaning that it was the express purpose and intention of Absalom since when? This has been determined from the day that Amnon forced his sister Tamar. What does this tell us? Brandy, this tells us that Jonadab knew. He knew the express purpose, the intention, the plan of Absalom from the very moment Tamar got raped. Because he's telling David that. David, he didn't kill all of them. David, no. He just killed Amnon. How you know? This has been his purpose, his plan, since the day Amnon raped Tamar. Well, Pastor, what does that mean that he knew? Well, if you knew, Jonadab, what was on Absalom's heart, why didn't you tell somebody? Why didn't you tell somebody? If you knew Amnon was about to be murdered, and that's your boy, and we your family, this I'm your uncle, why didn't you tell somebody? Number one, why didn't you tell Amnon? Huh? He would have never went to Absalom's party if you would have told him that Absalom was trying to kill him. Absalom would have came, look, with an invitation. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where he'd have got it from. Vistaprint, I don't know where he would have got it from. But he'd have come down with that little invitation, man, party, party at my place. Amnon would have taken it and said, boy, you crazy. Boy, you think I'm a new fool? You understand what I'm saying? And Amnon would have still been alive. Now, if you don't have the heart to tell Amnon, at least you should tell the king. Tell King David, he the power that be. He's the authorities. All right? You go to David, you say, David, listen, I heard on the wind that Absalom is trying to take out Amnon. All right? Why? For what he did to Tamar. He burned about it. He don't look burnt, I'm trying to tell you. Now, if David would have had that information, Miss Amisha, and Absalom would have come and say, Daddy, can Amnon come to my party? David would have said, boy, you crazy? You think I'm a new fool? I know what's on your heart. So what I'm saying is, David would have never sent his son to his murder if he would have had that knowledge that Jonadab had. His son was murdered because David had a lack of knowledge. And Jonadab had that knowledge, right? Pastor, what's the revelation? Listen to me. If you have knowledge that'll save somebody from danger, you got to open your mouth. You got to open your mouth. I'm trying to tell you. You cannot allow people to rush into their own funeral, their own murder scene. You can't allow that. And this is true, y'all, on a plethora of different levels. And so let's just unpack this thing, huh? If I know that danger, amen, is on the outside, if I know that there's a lion without, amen, on the streets, I'm not going to let somebody just open a door and walk outside. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So let's break this down. All right? If you have information that somebody's in danger, let's see what that is, huh? Let's see what that is. Let's just flesh this thing out, huh? Let's use our imagination for a bit, huh? All right? Maybe you know that the people that they're hanging with is no good for them, huh? Maybe you used to hang with those type of people, huh? And you're just going to watch them hang around with drug dealers and murderers and stuff like that, and they kind of gullible and simple, but you have that knowledge, you see? You got to pull them off aside and tell them, look, the people you with, hey, God, you're going to crash and burn with these people. Anybody hear me up in here? Our parents in here got to speak up when they see that with their children. You got to be bold enough just to speak out. There's nothing wrong with talking about your children's friends, no. You got to tell your children. You got to let them know. In fact, if they have age, you got to shape who they hang with. Amen. Meaning that you can take some people out of their life and you can artificially put some people in their life. Amen. And you got to start doing that when they're small. Hallelujah. And when they get of age, amen, you still, hallelujah, they're adults, but you still want to keep advising them. Because you never want to know that danger is around the corner and keep your mouth shut. That's a Jonadab. Anybody hearing me up in here? Anybody hearing me? All right? All right? Not just who your children hang with. Amen. But what if you have some information that somebody's dropping their children off to a child predator? Huh? Huh? And you don't want to say nothing about that. Huh? And many lives going to be ruined. Hallelujah. And many children, amen, going to be, hallelujah, taken advantage of. If you have information like that, you can't be a Jonadab. You can't sit there, hallelujah, and not say nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you're going to be playing the Jonadab. But let's look at your life and where you've been. Huh? Maybe you've sold drugs. Maybe you've used drugs. Maybe you haven't been the most faithful spouse, hallelujah, all your life. But before you got saved, you done made some mistakes. You see? And you know the courses of action that somebody taking around you is what you used to be and the things you used to do. All right? And so you sitting there, amen, and you save, and thank God, hallelujah, you're not what you used to be. All right? But a lot of the times, those of us that been down that road, we can just look at somebody, and we know what road they're going on. They don't even have to open their mouth. I don't have to see them out there. I know where you're going because I done been there before. Anybody hear me, huh? I could tell by the grass on your shoe that you done been where I'm going. All right? So now you a hustler, but you saved and you delivered. You delivered, all right? But you know where that life took you. It landed you in jail, huh? Got you some time, huh? Got you on probation, parole, huh? Made you lose tremendous opportunities because now, hallelujah, you got a jacket now. You got a conviction on you. And you see a young man, amen, in your neighborhood or in church, amen, and you see him walking down the same road and he playing around that same cliff. You going to be a Jonah there? Or you going to warn him about that life that he embarking upon? Anybody hear me up in there? Y'all all right? All right? I'm trying to get you to open your mouth tonight. I'm trying to get you to help somebody. You see? Maybe you wasn't always the faithful wife and you dipped and dabbled, amen. You done played around and stuff like that. You lost your first marriage because of it. You in church and they got a young lady in church. And you see the quick eye movements. You see her looking at other people. You see the young man, amen, hallelujah, trying to play, hallelujah, Mr. Popular in the church. And you see that spirit of adultery on him. You see the spirit of adultery on them. And you know that spirit, amen, because you fought it, amen. And by the grace of Jesus Christ through the cross and the blood, you've overcome it. But you see that thing trying to jump on somebody else. Huh? Don't be no Jonah there. Don't sit there on the sideline and watch this thing happen. And watch somebody lose a family just like you lost your family. And watch somebody, amen, catch some type of disease, amen. Hallelujah. You could step in. Amen. I'm telling you, I got a job from the player. I got a job for the players from the Himalayas. Amen. I got a job for them. Amen. Hallelujah. You done hung up your player jacket. You done turned in your player card. Amen. But now since you know the game, you could play defense and stop the game. Amen. You can help a young man not to ruin his life. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. Come on now. Don't be a Jonadab. Don't have information and knowledge and not say anything. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a piece of advice. The very thing that God saved you from is the thing that God going to use you to best bless the body of Christ. Y'all don't want to hear it. Because a lot of times we are ashamed of what we used to be. So we don't speak about it, amen. We don't talk about it. We are ashamed of our struggle. We are ashamed of the struggle of adultery. We are ashamed of the struggle of homosexuality. We are ashamed of it. All right? Don't be ashamed of it. All right? Embrace your testimony. Don't go back to it, but embrace your testimony. We overcome the devil. We overcome Satan by our testimony. Anybody hear me up in here? Your testimony is your strength. Hey, God. Nobody else gonna know that sin like you know that sin. Nobody else gonna know it like you. And nobody else gonna be able to discern it like you. All right? Because you done been down that road. What I'm telling you is I'm arming you tonight. I'm arming you, amen, to let the prophetic go. To let the discernment go. To be able to speak into people's lives. And I'm going to tell you, Philly, this is not an easy thing because, listen, when somebody's on the wrong road, they might not always want to hear the truth. But you got to tell them anyway. Anybody hear me? You got to tell them anyway. You got to walk up to that young lady and tell her, listen, hallelujah, you got a fornicating spirit that's trying to come upon you. I know because I done been there. You hot to try. You looking for boys. And Missy, you better slow down. All right? I'm not judging you because I done been there and done that. I not only been around the block, I've been around the corner, the block. I've been around Lafayette. I mean, you don't have to say all that. But what I'm saying is, Are y'all hearing me up in here? Jonadab was cunning, had the wisdom of Solomon, but he never benefited the people around him. Sitting on it. I wonder if that's you. I wonder if when you get to heaven, God's going to say, listen, that trial you went through was a testimony. And I gave it to you so you could be profitable to me. And when you go to count your talents, amen, you're going to say, God, I took what you gave me and I buried it. I took the struggle that I've been through and how you delivered me from that and how you made me a new man and you made me a new woman. I took that and I buried that. I used it for me. But when others that was going through came by me, I never said a word. I never did a thing. I never reached out a hand. I just stood there and watched him jump off the cliff. God gonna say, Thou Jonadab. Yes. Those that done had abortions in here, or listening by way of the radio, or watching via live stream. Listen, I know it's painful. I know it's even painful for me to bring it up. But you're covered with the blood, so you've been forgiven. And there's no condemnation. God has removed that from you as far as the east is from the west. And it's in the sea of forgetfulness. All right? But I want to arm you and equip you. That what the devil meant for bad in your life, by putting you in that situation to make you take that, hallelujah, make you seem like that was the only way to take, the devil box you in, and he meant it for bad. Tonight, I want you to get back at the devil tonight. I want you to arm yourself with a testimony and be ready and waiting for when a young lady gonna come around you that's ready, amen, to abort that baby. And we could talk to her, but we ain't never been through that. We can talk to her, but there's no power in our words. But you see, when you look at that young lady, you're going to have tears in your eyes because you're going to know how much that hurt and how much you regret what you did. There's going to be some power in that. And you're going to be able to tell her with an anointing behind it. Because it's pain that bring anointing. It's pain, it's grief. You see, it's Gethsemane. Gethsemane is the oil press. It's the oil press that bring out the oil on the inside of the olive. It's the oil press. It's when you've been pressed, when you've been hurt, when you've been smashed, when you've been went through. That's what bring out the anointing. All I'm asking you is, let the oil out. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Warn them. But this goes even deeper. It makes me think of us as Christians and how we, like Jonadab, had knowledge of danger. And people around us had no knowledge. And they marched not just to their death, but they march headlong, running, sprinting, racing to hell with no knowledge. Christian, listen to me good. When you don't tell people about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are playing the Jonadab. You have the knowledge that'll save them. You have the knowledge, amen, that'll stop them from going to an eternal, hallelujah, tormenting, hallelujah, fire that's never quenched, worm that never died type of a place. For you to sit there and never tell them about Jesus. Never tell them about the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, God, you've become a Jonadab. Listen, when we get saved, we just don't get saved and that's it, no. When we come to Jesus, the Bible says, listen, that he's going to make us fishers of men. The Bible said when we get saved, we're given a ministry. Hallelujah. Oh, pastor, I never got my church yet. No, 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 but you still got a ministry. And the Bible calls it in the Corinthian epistles, it's a ministry of reconciliation. Where we go out to our lost family and friends and we come with a word, be ye reconciled with Christ. We come with the good news. We come with the good news. Listen to me good. Wherever you are in life, amen, God's going to have some people around you that don't know him. Some people around you, like Amnon, who are marching to their death. When you keep your mouth closed, hallelujah, and not tell them at least one time. Some of y'all, hallelujah, you live in the house with them, and you never share the gospel with them. You sleep in the same bed with them, and you never share the gospel with them. They came out of your womb, and you never share the gospel with them. They're your sons and daughters, and you never share the gospel with them. Amen. That's a Jonadab, son. That's a Jonadab, daughter. Listen, you got to open your mouth. Why you got to open your mouth? You know, as the Bible says in Hebrews 10:31, you know it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know that. You know how our God, yeah, he's perfect in love, but he's also perfect in vengeance. You know that. You know, as the Bible says in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a what? Is a consuming fire. You know that he'll bless you like no other, but you know that this very God will curse you like no other either. You got to understand who we're playing with. And you at Philly, amen, you know, like the Bible says, the goodness and the severity of our God. And because you know his severity, amen, you say like Paul in the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore, Paul says, look what he says, the terror of the Lord. What do? We persuade men. We don't sit on our laurels, saints, while people going to hell. But we tell them about the Lord. And we tell them the good news, and we tell them the bad news. We tell them that they sent us. We tell them that the wages of sin is death. We tell them, amen, that if they are not forgiven and under the blood, that they're going to bust hell wide open. We tell them that there's no purgatory, that there's no parole, no probation, no early release. There's no house arrest for hell. That once you get in hell, hell is permanent. I heard one preacher say there is no exits in hell. Once you get in there, like Dante said in his work Inferno, once you cross the gate of hell, hallelujah, all hope is gone. Listen to me. The rich man that was in hell say, let me go back so I can tell my brothers. Oh, goodness. Lazarus, or Abraham told him, there's no going back. There's no going back. Hallelujah. Let Lazarus come and bring me some water, a drop of water. There's a gulf between you and Lazarus. They can't cross over. You're fixed where you are. You're fixed where you are. Mom and daddy, listen to me. Why you don't share the gospel with them children? Why not just before them children go to bed, you just share the gospel with them? What is it going to cost you, huh? What is it going to cost you in that bedroom? You're tucking them in. Why don't you just go over the gospel with them? It don't matter how you present the gospel itself is power. Anybody heard me? As long as you say it, it's going to be power. You could stutter, ba-deep, that's all, folks. You could do whatever you want with the gospel. But as long as you go through the basics that we sent us, that we're on our way to hell, but God loved us so much, he sent his only begotten son, Jesus. As long as you go through the gospel, hey, God, there's going to be power in the gospel. Especially when you talk about that he died and he was buried and he rose the third day. Mama and daddy, listen to me. Don't play the Jonadab to your children. But pastor, my children, I don't tuck them in no more. They big. That's right. All right? Then you box them in that room. And you say, listen, we got to talk. I am not going into eternity with your blood on my hands. I gave birth to you. I provided for you. You're going to at least listen to me for these 5 minutes. And remember I said 5 minutes. Don't you be in there all night till 1 o'clock. Them children can't pay attention to a 30-second commercial, let alone you going for all night. write it down beforehand if you got to. Put the scriptures beforehand. You could present the gospel, amen, in an effective way in less than 5 minutes. I'm telling you right now. I did it probably 2 or 3 times since I've been up here. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't be no Jonadab to your children. And children, with parents that's unsaved, don't you be no Jonadab to your mama and your daddy. Listen, before my daddy passed away, I was so happy. I was so happy that God impressed upon me an urgency for the gospel. You see, the reason is because you never know the day nor the hour of both the Son of Man's return or when death is going to come knocking on your mama and daddy doorway. You never know when that's going to happen. Listen to me. Take this opportunity and take it as a prophetic warning from your pastor. Sit down with your mama and your daddy and tell them right off the bat, because they're going to come, oh, you're trying to get us to your church. No, 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 no. We told you already, son, I was born, I'm going to die. All right, you could be born, die, whatever. But mama, what I'm really after is that you would know Jesus. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what's your denomination. But you got to know Jesus. You got to know Jesus. And take it out of denominationalism. Take it out of this church or that church. It's not about a church. It's about a Christ. It's about a Savior. It's about a Messiah. It's about the gospel. Some of y'all are going about it the wrong way. You see? You trying to get them to come to a church before they have come to Christ. All right? I'm not going to say most, but the majority of the time, when they are lost, they will not see an actual difference between this church and any other church. Anybody hear me? He trying to take me from my church. She trying to take me from my. They singing, we singing. He preaching, this one preaching. They don't even discern the difference because they don't have the Spirit of God yet. All right? So what I'm trying to do, let me arm you and equip you. Forget about churches. Give them the gospel. All right? Give them the gospel. And when you give them the gospel, this is what's going to happen. All right? They're going to get saved. They're going to get saved. My daddy got saved. I prayed that old sinner's prayer with him. I just got saved. I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know if I said the right thing. Who knows? But he grabbed my hand, and a little tear came down his eye like that. I said, ooh, it's getting good. Like Ann Lee said, it's getting juicy. You know? And I was so happy. And something happened in him. You see, because when somebody is born again, that's when they get hungry. Yeah. Hey! That's when they get hungry, minister! And when they get hungry, they begin to say things like, you know, I'm not satisfied over here. You know, I'm not really getting fed. And then you can step in, Crystal, and say, well, I have just the place for you. All right? I'm trying to arm you and equip you. You see what I'm saying? But you want to get them saved. You want to pray with them. You want to pray that old sinner's prayer with them. Amen. And my dad began to call me, began to talk scripture with me. Amen. Began to pray with me. Before anything he went through or whatever like that, he'd be like, OJ, he called me OJ. OJ, come and pray with me, boy. You know? And something happened to him. So listen, parents, don't be a Jonadab. Children, don't be a Jonadab. You see? To have knowledge and not to share it. We're gonna stay on this point for a second. All right, let's just we're gonna leave in a second. Y'all all right out there? Y'all all right? Y'all kind of quiet, but I'm just, you know, cause just imagine from this sermon, how many people may go home, and how many souls might be saved, just from tonight, just from tonight. Just you saying, I'm not going to have this knowledge and not say anything. Listen to me. Ezekiel 33:7 tells us something about ourselves. When we come to the Lord and when God saves us, Ezekiel tells us that God don't save us for nothing. Amen. But he actually makes us watchmen and watchwomen. Amen. And God tells Ezekiel, and I'm speaking it upon all of us, see thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me, God said. Yeah. Don't warn them about no other danger. Warn them about me. And in that same text, just not to be redundant and go through it all, but in that same text, look what he tells them. God says, if a watchman is placed on the wall and he sees danger coming and he does not sound the alarm, the blood of the city is going to be on the watchman's hands. Why? Because he saw danger and he did not sound the alarm. But the Bible says, if that watchman is on the wall, he see the danger coming, and he sounds the alarm, but people don't listen. The Bible says, then the blood is not on the watchman's hand. The blood is going to be on everybody's hands that didn't heed the warning. What I'm giving you tonight is just that. It's just that. At least sound the alarm. All right? At least sound the alarm. It's like us walking by somebody's house on fire. Amen. And we see a part of their house on fire and they having dinner in the dining room through the window. Like everything is okay when a fire is raging around them. We have a moral obligation, amen, if not to just throw a chair through the window, amen, to kick down the door and scream, fire, fire, all right? What kind of a man or a woman that would be to watch a family dine together, danger all around them, amen, and just watch them burn? You know, that's a Jonadab. That's one of the worst people, worst elements of society. In the same way, an even greater way, the fires are coming. The fires are getting closer and closer. Hell is so close, it seems like we can feel the heat sometimes. We know it's the last days. And we got to yell fire. We got to sound the alarm. We got to kick through the window. I talked about parents and children. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's not just that. You got to do the same thing with sisters and brothers, with your aunts and your uncles, your cousins, your friends. You at least got to tell them once. Whether they take heed to the warning, that's on them, but you got to tell them once. It's time for you to stop trying to look cool. Stop trying to get them to like you. Let me tell you, they're going to like you a lot more when they realize what you saved them from through the cross of Calvary. Oh, somebody got to hear me up in here. The Holy Ghost say, don't stop. I got another one on my list. Your co-workers that you work with. You see? And listen, when it comes to the work relationship and the workspace, you got to be wise like that serpent I was talking about earlier. Amen. You don't want to be in the company meeting, amen, and just stand up and say, I want to tell everybody about Jesus. That might not be the way that you want to do that, you know, for a couple of reasons. Number one, hallelujah, you might not get a good effect or as good of an effect as that person being in your office and going through and weeping to you about something that they're going through. And in the privacy of your office, amen, you telling them the gospel and praying with them there, and people getting saved right on the job, you see? Oftentimes, amen, it's not what you do, it's about how you do it. Anybody hear me up in here? And a lot of times, hallelujah, you can catch more bees with honey than you can with vinegar, right? So it's just about telling them in a wise way. And to be a fisherman, you got to be wise. You see? The fisherman don't jump in the water with a bucket and try to get the fish. He's called an angler. Amen. He knew how to, what bait to put on it and what to do with it. Make the gospel attractive. A word spoken in due season, how sweet it is. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And lastly, to our preachers that may be listening or watching, the same thing apply to you. Preachers and pastors, listen good. Don't you ever play the Jonadab. Don't you ever get up on a Sunday morning, amen, and repeatedly get up and preach some sermons about this and about that. But you got people in your church that never heard the gospel. Lost people. Hallelujah. Yeah, they know how to shout. They know how to dance. They know how to shake on the floor in Centipede. They know how to tithe. They know how to give. They know how to put you in a Bentley and put you in this kind of car and that. But what they don't know is that they sinners on the way to hell. You don't know how many churches, saints, that do not preach the gospel. And some of y'all know because you done been in them. Some of y'all know because you spent years in them and you wasn't saved. How do you spend 12 years in a church and was as lost as a goose in a hailstorm? You come one day to Philly. I done heard y'all. Y'all done told me. Y'all come one day to Philly and learn more in one day than you did in 12 years. Hallelujah. And it's not, listen, it's not because I'm kind of some kind of special person. No, it's not because of that. It's because that 99.9% of the time I'm up here. And if I don't do it, it's a mistake on my part, amen, that I don't feel good about. But 99.9% of the time when I'm up here, anybody that come here for the first time, they will hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're going to hear about it every single time. You can go back on the messages. Go back on the messages. Go back and listen to every message I preach. Go back. Go back on them and listen. I'm daring you to. And you're going to hear about Jesus Christ and him crucified. You're going to hear about a blood risen Savior. You're going to hear about a Savior. All right? Go back and listen. Just like tonight. Just like tonight. But you go to some church, you listen to some preachers, they don't even mention the name Jesus. And don't hear nothing about no cross. Listen to me, preacher. Listen to me, future pastors up in here. Don't you ever be no Jonadab. Don't you ever preach, amen, a Christless sermon on a regular basis. Don't you ever, hallelujah, not offer Christ to your people, hallelujah, every Sunday. Because there's somebody lost in there that needs to hear a warning. And when you don't warn them, the blood is on your hands. And when you don't warn them, hallelujah, you become a Jonadab. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word, O King. We give you praise that your word is rich. We give you praise that your word has power. And we thank you most of all for your gospel, God. We thank you, Lord God, that, hallelujah, we have the answer to save lost men and women. Now, oh God, give us the courage we need. Give us the boldness we need. Give us, Lord God, the love we need to go out and let, hallelujah, sinful men know. The Bible tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And Father God, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would fill us all with that boldness. Now, God, there's somebody here, Lord God, who don't know you. There's somebody here, Lord God, who don't know what it's like to be forgiven. And we are praying for them right now. We ask, oh God, that they've heard about you. They've heard about our sins, Lord God. Hallelujah. And the ability of our sins, hallelujah, being cast as far as from the east is to the west. They say they're interested in it. Now, Lord, I pray that you would take your power, exousia and dunamis, and add it to your gospel, like you said. You said the gospel is the power to all those who would believe. Release that power now, God, and save a soul tonight. In Jesus' name. Everybody in the sound of my voice, if you're unsaved or unsure, or if you act like you're not saved, just go to God. And admit that you've fallen short of the glory. Admit that you've sinned like every other man, for there's not a man that sinned not. He If you're here today, amen, and you're not sure of your eternal destination, not only admit that you're a sinner, but believe on Jesus Christ. Believe that he came from heaven. He lived a sinless, perfect life, holy, harmless, and undefiled. Believe that he was sent to the cross, not for his sins, but for ours. Believe that he was nailed down there, given a crown of thorns, pierced in his side. Believe, amen, that by his stripes we are healed. Believe, amen, hallelujah, that when he was on that cross, he didn't pass out, but he gave up the ghost. It says, it is finished, and he died on that cross. Believe that when he died in your place, for the wages of sin is death. And you were supposed to give sin death, but Jesus gave it in your behalf. He was your substitute. Believe that after he died and gave up the ghost, he was buried. He was buried in that stone cold grave. But death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him down. And on the third day, just like according to prophecy, he rose with all power and all might, with a promise that whosoever believing in him, whosoever believing in him, whosoever believing would call upon him, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord with that type of belief and that type of faith shall be saved. Are you ready to call upon him tonight in faith? Are you ready to open your mouth tonight and confess that Jesus is Lord? Pray with me now. Say, God, I am a sinner, but I believe that you love me, that you died for me, that you were buried in a grave. On the third day, you rose. I believe that if I call upon you, you'll forgive me and save me. Lord, I'm calling now. Forgive me of my sins and save me a sinner. And Lord, use me for your glory. I'm tired sitting on the sidelines talking about other people who are serving. I want to serve myself. I want to save souls. I want to open my mouth and bring people from darkness to light. Give me boldness. Give me courage. Help me to use my testimony. I want to be a soul winner. Please, God, make me a soul winner. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. Soul winners. Bring somebody with you to